It is so good to have Joe Salazar with us tonight, and I've enjoyed having our college fellows that are studying for the ministry give them an opportunity to preach, and there's no better opportunity than right here in their home. It's tough. It is a tough thing, and every one of them, you know, is that you have that nervousness, but they've all done a great job, and Joe, of course, is at Midwestern Baptist College. Studying and working, and I'm proud of him. He's going to come preach to us tonight. Joe, you come.
Man. Hello? All right. It's awesome to be behind this pulpit where I've heard Pastor Rogers my whole Christian life, about 6 years now, since me and my family came to Berean Baptist Church, and it's been awesome. God's completely changed our family. God's been good to all of us. I don't know how we make it every month, you know, with the economy, but God's been good to us. But my brother and sister put me up to this, but I just want to announce before I get started publicly that I'm going to be going on a diet, so if you guys see me at McDonald's or Wendy's, make sure I'm getting a salad. If I'm not, you guys have the right to hit me. Okay. All right. If you guys would please go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. And I love seeing everybody's faces with faces I know, like Mike Moorbach, Jordan. I'd rather not see Larry Johns, but I'm glad he's in here. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. We'll go to verse 12. We'll jump down to 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Jump down to 15, please. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings and the infirmities, but as well in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I pray you just give me clarity of thought. I pray that you just send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to me to give your message. I pray that you just give them the attentiveness, Lord, and just have your Spirit work in all rounds about us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to talk to you guys today, if you guys would go to the second part of verse 12, about having a Spirit-filled church service, having a Spirit-filled church service. If you guys look at the second part of verse 12, it says, they're talking about the Bible, Word of God, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We should have a church service to where, if Satan were to try to walk through those doors, he cannot come in. It'd be as if though he's walking into a building that's set on fire and he can't get in because of the smoke. We should be so Spirit-filled, expecting God to come here and do something in church. Some of us come to church and not expect God to do anything. It's just part of the routine. I've fallen into that plenty of times. I just come to church, I get dressed up, I make my outside look good, but in the inside it's rotten. And I know many of us are in the same, we get in the same boat. We just walk through those doors, and we just go back to listening to Lady Gag Me or Justin Bieber right after church service. And frankly, I'm sick of doing that. I'm just sick of having that attitude. I think we should have that spirit where if Satan was trying to walk in here, one, it'd be so hard for him to find somebody that would even give him an ear to listen to. And if he's whispering into your ear right now saying, you know, what's after church to eat or something like that, I say you guys ignore him because we're in church and we should have a Spirit-filled church service. And there's many ways we can have a Spirit church service. One is being excited. One is smiling about the things of God. Yes. one is just, I remember one time me and John, this is when we first got saved, me and him were trying to go soul winning. We had no idea what we were doing. All I knew was Romans 3:13, and I barely got it right when I tried to quote it. So me and John were like, well, you know, we're just driving around, and we're 16, 17 at this point. And John's like, hey, why don't we go to the park? There's little kids there. They'll listen to anything we say. So we're going to the park, and we're looking for little kids. And we see little kids. We talk to them, and they just run off. They didn't get saved or anything. Me and Jen are just like, dang it, let's go look for the next little kids. But then we didn't have candy, by the way. So this big Mexican guy starts walking around the lake, and he's Mexican. I'm Hispanic, too. I'm still scared of him. He's a big guy. He has tattoos on him. I'm thinking he's going to beat me to a pulp just for looking at him. So he's walking around the lake, and me and John are walking toward him, and John's like, I'm going to go talk to that. There's this little white guy fishing, so John's like, I'm going to go talk to him. He's like, thanks. So there I am talking, you know, getting ready to talk to this guy, and I just pull out my little Bible. It was probably NIV. I have no idea where I got it. So I'm just talking to this guy, and I'm like, if you're to die today, are you, you know, and I'm thinking he's probably going to kill me. I'm going to be the one who dies today. So he's like, no, man, I don't. And I was just like, well, if, you know, my hands are shaking. But then the Spirit of God came down. And that guy, it went from me shaking to him shaking. And he was so convicted that right there he bowed his head. There's people yelling at him for him to come hurry around the lake. But he didn't care. He was there praying with me. And if I remember correctly, I believe his daughter is still one of our bus kids, if I remember correctly. And, you know, there I am, happy. And John comes up to me, and he led that skinny white guy who was fishing to the Lord, too. So the Spirit of God came down. But we were excited to go out. We were excited to just go out there and find people. That's what we should be when we come to church. We should just come to church and say, God, please do something. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. And another way is Bible reading. The first part of our verse says, for the word of God is quick, means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the Word of God. We have God's breathed Word in our hands. And it's unjust that people in other countries are dying to get this, and we don't take time to read it. Some of us, the most affection we give our Bible is when we open it in church, or somebody reads it, and you guys might know that verse somehow. But we need to be reading our Word of God. We can't withstand the devil's darts if we don't know scripture to combat it. Jesus in his earthly ministry would quote verse after verse after verse. Another way is to pray for one another. The Bible says to bury one another's burdens, and as a church we should be praying for one another. As a church we should go to Brother Chase and ask him what's on his heart. Brother Pick and Paul should ask me what's on my heart. Brother Korea, John Shaver, you know, everybody, we should be asking each other what's on our hearts. And then I just want to jump down to another way, and this one's probably the toughest one for me, but it's forgiveness. As a church, we shouldn't have anything against one another. And it's hard as a older brother to be that way. It's hard to lead by example when you have a younger brother to protect, a younger sister to protect, a mom to protect. You talk about my mom, I will find you. And, but, I mean, it's hard to forgive somebody. But the Bible says, forgive you one another as I have forgiven you. And a perfect example of forgiveness is my dad. We have an old house on Braddock Street. And my dad, he lent it out to a guy. The guy said that he would fix it if we didn't charge him rent or anything. That sounded like a good deal because we wanted to move back in there. So a couple months go by, and we go check out the house, and it looks like he's working on it. He has boards taken out and stuff, but not much is done. So we just let him live there for a little bit longer. But time goes by, and we don't hear from him anymore. The guy had taken all our copper, anything of value of the house. He had stripped it and ran off to somewhere heathen, I think Ohio. So, you know, obviously we're devastated. You know, my dad's just like, you know, I trust that guy. That guy did work for us. We gave him the house to live in, and he betrayed us. The guy came back, 2 years ago, and I'm livid. John's mad. Emma's watching cartoons. So me and John and my older brother, we're just upset. But my dad, he showed a Christ-like character when he said, "I forgive you." Just like that. My dad, by the way, is going to be 88 tomorrow, believe it or not. And he in good health and everything. But he showed a Christ-like character, and he's only been saved 4 years. I was able to lead him to the Lord 4 years ago. And he showed a Christ-like character that sometimes I have struggles showing. And that day, he just showed me that, you know, these things we hold against one another, really, they're not worth it. If he can forgive a guy who stripped down our house, which, by the way, we're going to move back in 3 months from now because God had provided a way for us to move back in there, and it's going to be a beautiful house. Why can't I forgive somebody for wronging me, for just saying something that really doesn't mean anything, but I get upset about it? Why do we as a church have to fight? Why can't we? The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed in Amos? And we should come to church with no vile against one another. If that were to be so, Satan couldn't even approach the premises of the church if we were all in one accord. So that, my second point is that of spirit-filled action. If you guys will go down to verse 15. For we not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings and the infirmities, but is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I believe I'm talking to mainly Christians here, and I'm speaking to myself here as well. When we're saved, I'm not telling you guys anything new, we receive the Holy Spirit. But a lot of us don't really acknowledge that. You can know something without actually knowing it, and like math for me. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, what's that actually mean? Well, I heard it put like this before. As humans, we're bound by gravity. If I were to throw a ball in the crowd, it'd fall down and hit somebody. So there's one law that beats gravity, and that'd be the law of hot air. So if I were to get in a balloon and turn on the hot air and go up, I'm breaking the law of gravity. But if I'm foolish enough to step out of that balloon and fall and plummet to my death, you know, what would be the remedy for that? What would stop me from falling down? It'd be staying in the balloon. That's how the Holy Spirit works. We're bound by sin. And even as Christians, sin is still entrapping us. It's still catching us. But if we're in the Holy Spirit, we break that law of sin. Because it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit which is in us. The Bible says, high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings and our infirmities. Being touched, being in the Holy Spirit, it means we won't have biased feelings. We won't, when we're making a decision, base it upon whether you like a person or not. We'll be in the Spirit. Also, our circumstances won't determine our attitude. If something's bothering us, we should still have a Christ-like character and take it just for the cause of Christ. And we won't fall into temptation. Tempted like as we were, yet without sin. I know as humans, we're going to slip up sometimes. I'm not saying we can be perfect with this, but I'm just saying if we would just take this truth that we already know, but we don't really put into action, we can just make, if we were to have a Spirit-filled church service and just have this Holy Spirit filling and just have the Holy Spirit lead us, our soul winning, we'd see a great number saved. We'd touch our community like never before. Adrian would just be changed. And it wouldn't be because of Berean Baptist Church. It wouldn't be because of Pastor Rogers. It wouldn't be because of us. It'd be because of the Holy Spirit, because of God, because of Jesus Christ. And that's our ultimate goal, is to show the love of Jesus Christ. And if you guys will go down to the third, verse 16, our third verse. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. We can come boldly to our King. We can come boldly to our Jesus Christ. But it says we have to come. We have to come, admit that we can't do it alone. You can't save your marriage alone. You can't go soul winning alone. You just can't do it alone. It took me a long time to figure this out because I fell into sin a couple summers ago. And It hurt my family, it hurt a lot of people. And not too many people know about it, but I made a decision that really hurt a lot of people. And thank God I got out of it. But thank God he's got a second chances and third and 450th chances. But we can come to the throne. When I was in that sin, I didn't think I could come back. Obviously it's not of works, but I was just thinking, God, he doesn't want to use me anymore. He's done with me. I can't do it anymore. And I got a voicemail from Brother Chase and a couple other church people. And they don't realize this. I never tell anybody, but I listened to those voicemails and heard people saying they were praying for me. And I just thought, you know, maybe I can get out of this. Maybe God still wants to use me. So I came on. I just prayed all night one night. I was alone and in the dark. I was just dark place. And I said, God, if you still want to use me, I'll do whatever you want. God told me to pack my things and come back home, go to Midwestern Baptist College where I am now. And I have 2 years left, but I'm happier than ever over there. I'm in the Detroit area. And you need to be spirit-filled if you're in the Detroit area, I'll tell you what. So it's a scary place. You hear gunshots at night. You hear people screaming. And that's, just right before you go to sleep. But we need to come into the throne of God. If there's something here that you're thinking, I can't beat, you're right, you can't beat it. The Holy Spirit in you can, though. If you're struggling with gossip, if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with even something simple as lying, you're right, you can't beat it, but the Holy Spirit in you can. We just need to access that Holy Spirit which is in us. We just need to stay in that balloon, so to say, and just let it ride, not us. Not us think that we're so great that we can take on any sin, because pride is what brought Lucifer down. And second part of that verse says that we may attain mercy and find grace in the help of time and of need. Some of us will pray to God and think that he's not answering us. We'll think that, God, I'm trying to do everything right, and I'm struggling, and you're not answering me. The Bible says you ask not because you have not, is one thing, but are you really trusting in the Spirit is what you need to ask yourself. Are you just doing that to say, hey, God, I need your help right now? And God, what he'd say is, well, you're not asking in the Spirit, you're asking in flesh. You guys need to ask yourself, am I doing it in the Spirit or in the flesh? So one more story, and I'll close. One time, me and John, we were at our old house, and there was a group of us that would always hang out. And there's a sign at Carpet One, and we dared John to change the sign letters or whatever. And, so he's up there. And no lie, this van, this white van, Carpet One van, came out of nowhere. It had to be 9 o'clock at night. And it came out of nowhere, and it looked like slow motion. It looked like it just came off a ramp, like off a movie or something. And we all just scattered like cockroaches. So we lived on a dead-end road, and me and John, I want to make sure my little brother's with me. At this time, John was a short Asian-looking kid, and so I'm making sure my little brother's running right beside me, and we jump into some bushes. So a Carpet One van drives by, and a cop car drives by, and we hear Caleb. I don't know if you remember Caleb, but Caleb's yelling, he's cussing and stuff. Bad, but he's cussing. And so he's me and John are just hiding, and we look down at each other, and we just start laughing. We're just like, how they didn't catch us or anything. So we meet back at home base, which is our home. And any of our friends that didn't get caught or made it, we met back at home or whatever. And, we're like, that was fun. That was awesome. That was great. But later on, we got a knock on the door. And it was just one of our friends who met up with us later. But we were so scared. And it's hard to live a life where you know you've done something wrong, and every time someone knocks, you're scared. You're just afraid. And I remember, you know, I could scare John by telling him a tornado was going to come and it started sprinkling, and he'd be ready to go down in the basement. And that's not a lie either. Every time it started sprinkling, I was like, John's going to be a tornado. And he's like, no. He'd get his blankie and bear and head down to the basement. But we as people, as beings, we'll let our feelings, we'll let our emotions just get us, and we'll be in this trap, and we'll just be in this trap of fear, and we'll be afraid. We can actually get to the point where we'll be afraid to come to the throne of God. We'll be afraid to just humbly come down to even to this altar, to our bedside, to our prayer closets. We'll be afraid because, you know, honestly, some of us like our sin. Some of us like to pet our sin. Some of us just feel like we can't come back. But some of us are saying, me, I, too much. Some of us need to say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And we as a church would have a Spirit-filled church service if we would just realize we can't do anything, but the Holy Spirit, which is in us, that we receive when we receive Christ as Savior, that's what will work. I just wanted to say, being scared, I mean, like I said, when I was backsliding, I was afraid to talk to my family. I was afraid to talk to pastor. I was afraid to talk to any godly influence because I knew what they would say. They'd say, you need to repent, come to church. I wasn't going to church at that time, and I was just deep in sin. I just falling more and more. And that will be a problem if you don't come to the throne right now. It's just you'll keep rolling in sin, and it just develop and develop. And that was one thing that that's just happened to me, but it doesn't matter what point you are in your sin or what you think is too bad. You can come today even and just say, God, I've been struggling. God, I can't forgive this person. They've wronged me so much. I don't know what to do. Even if you're, God forbid it, but if anyone here is feeling depressed, suicidal, we just come to the throne right now and say, God, it's not about me. It's about you and your Holy Spirit. And we as a church, if we were just to recognize one another and see what somebody's struggling in or see what's the matter with somebody, I'd say we'd have a revival here at Berean Baptist Church if we had a Spirit-filled church. I'd say we could revive Adrian, Lenawee County, and maybe spread over Detroit because they need it. So it's just a simple outline message, and if you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'll hand it over to the pastor.
You know, the Holy Spirit wants to fill your life. And I'm afraid often, just like Joe said, our problem is we quench the Spirit. That's why the Scripture's clear, says not to quench the Spirit. In other words, he speaks to our heart. Even now, something Joe said spoke to your heart, and we just said, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to say that. I want to do what I want to do, and that is the battle right there. It's all about yielding. That's how we become filled with the Spirit of God, is we have to yield to the Spirit of God, and it grieves the Holy Spirit when we do anything less than yield to Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if God's spoken to your heart tonight. You'd say, please pray for me. God's dealing with me about something. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Just slip it up. Is there someone here tonight who's not saved? You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're not sure you're going to heaven. Anyone like that? You'd say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Father, I do pray that you will bless now the invitation, and we would ask you to, Lord, work in our hearts. Help us not to quench your Spirit. Help us to say yes, to yield to everything that you tell us to do. I pray in Jesus' name.